Tell me, are you ready to find your weird way? Weird was a concept that was spoken of long ago. It meant fate, it meant destiny, it meant your path in life. I'm your host, Dean Bentley, and I am here to explore how you can connect to your own path in life, to know the essence of your own soul, to connect to that single spark that lives within the deepest recesses of your being that says, this is why I am here, to go beyond the limitations, the constrictions of the modern world and open you to the possibilities and the potentiality of what is possible within this world. Join me as we dive deep on the weird way.
Welcome.
Welcome. We have another episode of The Weird Way, and I just became aware that every time I've jumped on here, I say it in that particular way. So there's this part of me when I was welcome, and then I was like, yeah, this is what we do. This is the norm. So for those of you that are tuning in again, welcome back. For those of you that are new, it is a pleasure to have you here. And I've been on a journey lately, and I want to share a little bit about that, because I am a big nerd when it comes to books, when it comes to fantasy series, and I've noticed a common theme as of late that I find really ties in to the archetypal king and magician, and also elements of a messiah complex that I see prevalent within society and within so many people. I've seen it within myself and the shadow of this, and I find it really prevalent in a lot of the books that I've been reading. Now, in my world, when I read certain books, I tend to be attracted to a lot of the same things at similar time. So I take this as a sign that something is moving in my field. It's a good way for me to track where I am and what I'm moving through. And I think everyone should be doing this, noticing what's coming into our field, like noticing, oh, who am I attracted to right now? Who are the people that I want to spend time with? What books am I attracted to? What content am I consuming? Because this is all relevant to the stage of life at where we're at. And this is a way for us to know ourselves and see what's the underlying currents that are at play. Now, I've been tracking this in myself with a lot of books where there's what could be called a messiah in it. And in it, there's also elements of the tyrannical king. And I'm going to weave these together because I think it's something that we see in our society when we're all so connected. We can see the problems of the world, and there's this feeling like, oh, I have to be the one to save everyone. I'm going to be the one that saves the world. I'm going to be the one that creates massive change, and it's going to completely transform the entire world. And we can take that weight and put it on ourselves and begin to be like, oh my God, I've got to carry the weight of saving the entire world. And I've seen this in myself over the last 4 years in the coaching space, in the healing, and it has made it a lot harder to actually go on this journey. And it's made less joy. It's made myself contract and put so much pressure on my work, on what I do here. And I see this in a lot of people where it's like, oh my God, this is so serious. I need to be the one. I need to save, and I need to fight, and I need to make it all happen. You know, when I think of this, there's a little bit of like, it's cliche, right? It's been written about so many times. And so some of the books I'm reading right now are Dune by Frank Herbert, The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan. And there's a few other with similar themes, a lot of magician stuff. But what I notice in the main protagonists of these books is that they believe they're there to save the world. They've got told they're there to fulfill a prophecy, that they're the one people have been waiting for. Now, This is a lot of pressure to put on a singular person. If you got told your entire life that you're here to save the world, even the conditioning of you're here to do great things. I know that I was someone who was did very well in school, and I was always told, "Oh, you've got to do great things." So I took that on as a belief and a condition to be like, "Oh, I have to do great things." And if I don't, I'm not going to be loved and validated and all the things that we want as humans. Now, this doesn't work. We need to be able to just be. We need to get to that point where we don't have that pressure of the world upon our shoulders. Now, so what happens in these books and the common theme and the archetype that plays out for other people is they begin to take on this pressure, they begin to contract, they begin to stop feeling joy, and they feel like they need to control. Now, this is the point, control. How much are we controlling? How much are you controlling? Do you feel like you need to control the entirety of the world, even your own world? Do you be like, I need to micromanage that person. I need to make sure they're acting in that behavior. I need to make sure all these things are happening in this certain way. Otherwise, I can't be happy. Because this is the same archetype playing out for them, but it's playing out on a smaller level within ourselves. And this is the awareness. This is what we need to see. It's where are we controlling? Where are we playing into these patterns where we think we need to make everything in our life perfect before we allow ourselves joy, where we're taking on the challenges and forgetting that we can trust in something bigger. And this is the piece. These messiahs in these books, which they are, that's basically what they are. If you come from prophecy, you are technically a messiah who's come here to whatever it is, save the world. And our ego loves that. But this is where they're attached to who they are. Their ego has taken over. And they've been like, I am the one who saves everyone. I am the dragon reborn. I don't know how to say the thing in June, but I am the Messiah. I am the one people have been waiting for. And I need to make sure everything happens. Now, do you see the trap here? If you are taking on that much pressure, if you are becoming the source of prophecy, if you are becoming the source of the one who needs to make everything right, and this is what creates the Shadow King, the tyrant, because they become identified with the thing that plays out. They begin to identify as the source of creation, the source of the universe, and they believe they are in control of the entire universe, and that they to stay in power, to stay on top, they need to be in that control. Now, this is where they've become disconnected from source, from something greater, because they haven't recognized that they are actually just a channel. And if they were able to surrender and let go, they could trust in that movement through them. But instead, they become the source instead of source being the source. Does that make sense? Because it needs to. Because if we become identified with the source of our lives, being like, I need to control everything. I need to make sure it's all happening in the way I want, in the way my ego wants. We're detaching from a greater source, a higher power, whatever your word for that is, God, if it's source, spirit, your higher self, your whatever it is for you, Krishna, like, if you have become detached from that and become attached to your ego identity that says, I am the source of all that is moving through me. I am the source of all the things working in my life. I am the one that needs to make it all happen. Otherwise, nothing will happen. You are forgetting that something bigger is guiding you, that you are not the one who is in control of this ship. You are a passenger. You are the one who walks this world and begins to allow just who you are to move it through. And when we go into that state of control, we begin to look at all the areas of our life that need to be fixed, need to be controlled, challenges that need to be met. We start over-analyzing and we go into the archetype of the magician. This is the one who sits in the tower and tries to control the universe all around them to make sure that is happening in the right way, that is happening, and life flows. It's like, you can't live life from the tower. You can't live life from the magician. You actually need to recognize the king or the queen and come into life, which is by becoming the channel for life to move through and beginning to form trust in something bigger than yourself. Without this, you won't be able to allow life. You won't be able to allow joy because you'll be focusing so much on control. On making sure that this goes right, that goes right, you say the right thing there, that you have that done by the set date and everything. And you'll be cast out of flow, which is life. You'll be cast away of being like, oh, I can, it just won't work. So instead of feeling like, oh, I need to control that, I need to make sure that it's working. And this is what the theme is within these books. They take more and more pressure upon themselves. And the common theme is it leads to self-annihilation because if a person becomes attached to their ego, they will rather allow themselves to be destroyed than allow their ego to die. So this is where people will end up breaking, their bodies will break, their mind will go into depression because they're everything is breaking around, down, not as a way to punish them, but as a way to serve them. It's saying, hey, something isn't right here. You need to change, but the people aren't listening. I know for me, when I was approaching burnout at the end of last year, I was hitting these walls. I was waking up feeling with no energy. I wasn't excited by my work. I felt drained. I felt trapped. I felt like I had no possibility. And it was because I was so strongly identified with my current reality, with my ego, even though I was on the spiritual path and all of that, my ego was, this is who you are. You are a coach. You work 12 hours a day. You do all this. These were beliefs that were ingrained within me that I was trying to live up to, and it wasn't working. And because of that, all these signs were actually saying, hey, something's not right. You got to look at this. You need to look at this. You need to change. But I wasn't willing to. I wasn't willing to have a look at myself in the way that I needed to. So it eventually led to burnout, even though I was approaching that long ago, because I was trying to control everything. And when we're in that state of controlling, we get resentful, we get attached to things being a certain way. If our partners don't say what we want them to say, we get angry and being like, well, that's not the reality I want to operate within. I need it to be like this to be happy. Do you? Is that what you need to be happy, or is that your ego story that keeps you trapped in this cycle of suffering? Because until you're willing to let that go and start questioning, is that true? Do I need that? Do I need to be that way? And until you're willing to do that, you'll be trapped in the ego, even if it's a spiritual ego that's sneaky and it's like, oh, I'm more spiritual than you. Yes, you probably are. You're more detached from your ego than me. Great. That is something to celebrate. I'm all for that. But you get the joke of it, right? We get so identified with that that we refuse to change. Look at yourself right now. If you asked yourself, could you dress in a completely different way? Could you go a completely different day in your life? Could you change jobs, careers? Could you do something completely different and not care? Probably not. There's going to be some level of emotional attachment. That's okay. But this is how you know there's some level of identification with the egoic structure of who you are. So instead of trying to be egoless, just recognize that you do have attachment to your ego, and that is okay. And it's in the awareness of it that you can consciously help it surrender and let go, so you don't need to control everything. Because this is where it comes in, and this is where it will limit you. This is where, if you're doing anything, it doesn't matter if it's business, if it's work, if it's relationship. The more you are trying to control, the less enjoyment you will have in life, because you are saying to life that I need you to be like this. It's like putting a valve in the tube of life and saying, oh, I'm only going to open you when I want, and I'm not going to allow you to flow as you want. That means that life can't flow for you. And this is affected in every area, whether it comes to money, whether it comes to creating new clients, whether it comes to just being in your joy, in your creativity, in your love. These are all elements that are affected by our control. And where this stems from is from that disconnection that occurs from spirit, from source, from God, because we're have identified with the self and saying the self is the cause of creation. No, we are in a co-creation. There is a big difference. We do have power. We are limitless in our power. We can create new realities. We can shift our own. And if we believe we are the only source of that, it's going to cause us a lot of pain as we try and control every microcosm of life. Instead, it's allowing ourselves to surrender, to soften, to be in life, to be like, ah, oh, this is happening. Cool. How can I shift? How can I pivot? How can I move with this current? How can I set boundaries if I need? That's not a cutoff from life. That can actually be being in life, to recognize we don't need to do it all. It's not our responsibility to save the entire world. It's our responsibility to do our part. And that is by being true to ourselves. Because it sounds beautiful, this idea that there's going to be a single individual that comes in and saves the entire world. There's myths about this, there's millions of stories, there's many books, movies that all tell of this. That one person who comes in and wants to change everything and save everyone. This is part of that vision. But what these stories are actually sharing with us, and the mythic lens we can look at these through, is that these are calling us to find that within ourselves, the part of ourselves that can save ourselves, that can call us forward, but only on an individual level. We aren't here to save the world. We are here to do our part. And this is remembering that there is other people doing the same thing as you. Because I know for me, I started on this path and I was like, oh my God, I have no one around me who's doing this work. I felt alone. I didn't have yet have my community. It took me time to build the community and recognize, oh, there's other people who are on this path who want the same things, who are building towards that, that see the problems in the world and are willing to do something about that. You are not alone in that. And there is a greater thing moving through all of us. I see it in the collective. I see the changes. I see it's why all these themes are coming up in new movies. It's the alchemy. It's bringing forward their unconscious patterns within our collective psyche. And so we get to see that we aren't the only ones, and to remember that it's more important for us to play our part than to be the one who is sent a show or saves the world, because the rest won't happen without us doing that. And the way we do that is finding what we love, finding what we're here for, finding what our soul calls for, because those are the things that feel most true to us. Those are the things that are going to guide us to what we deeply love. It's asking, what am I excited about? What do I want to give to this world? Who are my people? Who am I here to serve? Like, for me, I can see that I could serve so many people. I could serve people in relationships. I can serve people in business. I can serve people just on their own individuation process. I can serve many, many different people. And yet, at the moment, I'm focusing on business because that's what's bringing me joy. That's what's bringing me excitement, passion. And I'm most excited to see that right now. That may change, that may evolve, I may go other places, but right now they're my people. They're who I'm looking to and being like, okay, cool, let me serve you, let me support you. You're who I want to support on a deeper level, and I'm stepping into that more and more. And until we're able to recognize our people, these people as our own, it's going to feel very constricted and or overwhelming if we're trying to recognize everyone as our people. Our people will grow as we grow and we're able to hold more. But initially, our capacity isn't that big. It's why, going back to the Messiah complex, it can be a trap because, like, maybe someday after enough evolution and advancement, a single person can hold the vision and all of that. I don't actually believe that. But as a person grows, their capacity to hold more and more grows. Like, if I look at this podcast at the moment, it's got a small following, people who really love it, and I fucking love you. And I know that my capacity is increasing with the ability that I am to hold and grow this podcast. This new studio is part of it. So the amount of people that are listening to this podcast will just naturally grow over time. That's how things work. We spend time and energy to develop our capacity to hold. And the more we do that, the more naturally it allows us to hold. Now, if we are coming into a space and it's like, I need to suddenly save the world, even though I haven't supported a single person on their path of growth, it's like, where do I begin? It doesn't exactly work, and it's overwhelm. It's like, oh my God, I need to control this. I need to make this happen, that happen. And it's like, do you? Or can you actually just stop for a moment and be like, cool, what's the, if I want to help the world, what's the next step? Oh, actually, I got to work on myself. Oh, I got to reach out to the single person and be like, hey, I've got an idea, and I need to guide someone through this process, and I'd love to get a testimonial. And it's just something free right now. I'm not getting paid for it. I'm not any of this. Maybe that's the next step. And that's okay. And or maybe you're like, oh, I want to do six figures this year. That's where you're at. I want to help enough people that my business earns six figures through serving people. All are potent places to be at. But if we're trying to jump and control and be at the next step before we're ready, it's not going to work. It's about being where you're at and just allowing that point now. The tangent to this I want to go down, because I've felt it alive in my space, is seeing this in the younger community, myself included. Like, I'm 26, I've been on this path for 5 to 6 years on my own journey, like 4 years as a coach. And it's like, oh, when I started this, the amount of pressure I put on, the amount of I need to be a man, I need to have a purpose, I need to have a mission, I need to be there right away, I need to know how it all works. And I can still feel that at times where I try and be more than I am and try and know everything. Like, I think that's a common trait as humans. We want to know everything, and we want to say, hey, I know what I'm doing here. And we can look real shiny in our human suits and look around at each other and be like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. You listen to me. I'm the one who has a bigger ego, so you can listen to me, even though we're all floating on a rock flying through space and not really understanding where we're going. I'm the one that knows. And that's just a tangent I've got at the moment. It's just like, Do we know anything? Not really. So can we all just humble ourselves in the not knowing, and also remembering that we can know certain things, own that, own the ego, and on the paradox of that, hold the humility and the not knowing. Like, for me, that's really fun to play in that paradox of like, oh yes, maybe no, yes, no. And going back to this point, like, I'm not sure who of you know Jake Woodward. He's a masculine polarity teacher. I've had some triggers around him of that him sharing a lot about what it means to be a man and needing to be a man. And that there's a truth to this. I see this. I know for me, I've been too in my feminine at times. I'm too in my flow. And that was really detrimental to my mental health. But there was all, I'm also someone who loves being in my feminine now that I've got a healthier relationship with that. And I can be in that. I don't believe we always got to be in the man or be the woman. It's not how I operate. I'm someone who enjoys the multi-dimensionality of humanness. I think that's really fun to be in and just play in rather than control. And he had a point about a judgment around men in their flow. Now, there is an element of truth in this. And this is where I want to see more nuance brought into a lot of teachings, brought into a lot of these spaces, because we do want to have these nuanced conversations which allow deeper growth and deeper awareness rather than saying this is the way it is. It's like, yes, maybe. And his view was that, hey, I need to, if a man's in his flow, it's a bad thing. That was at its core what it was about. And I'm like, yes, I see that. I know what you're talking about. And as a younger man and men that I coach, I think there can be a real determining or a detrimental impact from being told to be a man or like be in your masculine. It's the same thing as our old conditioning of be a man. And this is like where it's like, I need to control myself. I need to put all these armor on so that I can then be tough and strong and I can be in my masculine to share with the world who I am and stand for something. And it's like, maybe you need to be in your flow right now. Like, maybe you need to be in exploration. Maybe you need to be in that transition of just being without knowing, being in the unknown, being in the exploration, being in the wonder of life. Because I know for me, this is what I wished I did more. I wished I gave myself more space to enjoy being young. Like, this is coming from conditioning, from trauma, from pain. Like, I grew up, I think, relatively quick. And even starting a business at what, 22, I started my coaching business. It's like, cool, that I'm fucking stoked that I did. And I wouldn't change it. But even in that, the amount of pressure and the amount of I need to be this rather than enjoying the process, I think it's really detrimental. And I see it from this condition, and that I need to be a certain way. And going back to the Messiah complex, I think a lot of young men and probably young women as well are putting a lot of pressure on themselves to be the ones that save the world and to recognize it's not your job. Yes, you have responsibility. You need to learn to be your true and authentic self and just be who you are. But you don't need to take that pressure on yourself. You get to be in the joy of creation. You get to go after what you're passionate about. Find yourself, find what you love, explore, be in the unknown. Like, allow yourself to get lost in a way. Like, there's a conversation to be had if you're starting in your mid-30s and you're not there, like, you don't have direction yet, but there's time and places and just allowing us to be in different stages, and that's okay. And maybe you've done the business fin if you're going back to the 35-year-old example, and you've done the business fin, so now you're playing. It's like, cool, you've succeeded in one area of your life, so it's a different story. There's so much nuance to this, where it's like, oh, cool, maybe now I can play, maybe I can explore, and just get to know myself. It's this removing of this need to control our path so deeply and beginning to trust in the unfolding of something greater than ourselves, to realize, hey, Life is going to move through us in the way that it wants to. I don't need to be responsible for every action, for every fin. It's going to go in the way it's going to go. I can show up in the way that I need. I can show up to my best capacity, and then I can let go. I can be compassionate. I can be kind. And I can continue to trust that something else greater than me is moving me, that something else is guiding. Because otherwise, we go down the path of the tyrannical king, and it doesn't give the world the transmission that we need to give the world. It doesn't serve. It won't serve. And the only way to serve is actually come back to our authentic selves. And remember, we get to be all of ourselves. We get to be us. You get to be you. And this is your greatest gift. Even if you're in business, even if you're in service, like I get to be here speaking to you, doing something I love because I get to be me. I get to be real. If I was trying to say all the right things and make you like me and hoping I sounded smart and like I have that come in, but I've got this permission to just be me here because I love to do this, because this I know is being of service by just being me. It's not me trying to make you perceive me as a certain way. It's me trying to serve. It's me giving what I can. It's me just being me. So this is your invitation to do the same for yourself. Recognize that by being you, you will serve people. Recognize that your greatest gifts lay in the authenticness of you. And when you can begin to serve from this place, that is when you begin to create change. This feels like a beautiful spot to leave this episode, leave you fermenting in. Where are you trying to be the tyrannical king? Where are you controlling? Where are you not allowing life to flow through you? Where can you let go a little bit more and bring a little bit more joy and wonder into your life? Sending you so much love. This is Dean Bentley on The Weird Way, finding out.